All right, this morning, our scripture reading, we're continuing in the Gospel of John. And our reading this morning comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Let's listen together for the Word of God. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus heard this figure, used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Imagine that. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." So much less confusing now. "All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So it's been a busy weekend. So what I brought to you this morning is a sermon about poop. And I might say a bad word later. I haven't decided yet. So I guess this is a disclaimer. What do they say on NPR? Discretion is advised for young children and sensitive listeners. A lot of my life is about poop management right now. We have an 8-month-old daughter, Violet, and a 2-year-old son, Finn, and an elderly cat who requires not one, not two, but 3 litter boxes for just her. And if we don't clean them twice a day, she starts peeing on our stuff as a form of nonviolent protest. Sometimes I wish I could just put a diaper on the cat too, but then I remember all of the diaper management that our children require. The wiping, the changing, the smelling, not to mention the sheer amount of waste that is generated because, and this is my confession here to you this morning, as parents, we are just not crunchy enough for cloth diapers. Sorry, Earth. It's just not happening in this house. So we have the diapers and the wipes and the special pail for the diapers. A lot of you are familiar, or soon will be familiar, with the massive amount of stuff we can accumulate just to manage our children's poop. Diaper bags and changing pads and travel size wipe containers. Did you know that some diaper pails actually require an exclusive brand of bag? Like, just your regular trash bag won't fit in it. You have to buy their bag, and they know that. Or that you can buy a machine that will warm up the disposable wipes before they touch your children's poop-encrusted bottoms. You kind of have to admire, I think, the ingenuity that our consumer culture brings to the task of profiting from our poop problem. And they have us right where they want us until potty training is successful, which is one reason why I tried to start early with Finn. As an infant, I was reading him children's books about pooping, hoping that the encouraging words would somehow burrow their way into his subconscious and then emerge in his toddler mind as a fully formed conviction in the goodness of potties. Marianne, of course, has a much more realistic understanding of how potty training is accomplished. It's not magic. You can't just read a book to an infant. But I still like doing it. And one of my favorite books on pooping has got to be Everyone Poops by Taro Gomi, Japanese illustrator. Do you guys know this one? Would you like to hear it? You're going to either way. Really, that was a trick question. I don't care what your answer is. An elephant makes a big poop. A mouse makes a tiny poop. A one-hump camel makes a one-hump poop. Some of you are far away. There's a tiny mound of poop. It has one hump on the ground. And a two-hump camel makes a two-hump poop. Only kidding. Fish poop, and so do birds, and bugs too. Different animals make different kinds of poop, different shapes, different colors, even different smells. Do you know which end is the snake's behind? Finn does. Do you guys know? Or, what does whale poop look like? Think about it. Think about it. You can Google it. You can look it up on YouTube, and there is a majestic video of a humpback whale pooping underwater with inspiring musical accompaniment. Some stop to poop, like the hippopotamus. Others do it on the move, like the deer. Some poop here and there, like rabbits. Others do it in a special place, like bears and young Japanese boys. Grown-ups poop. You guys can see the dad is on the toilet with a newspaper, smoking a pipe, taking his time. Children poop too, and while some children poop on the potty, others poop in their diapers.
I'm gonna modernize that, he should have an iPhone.
He should. Some animals poop and pay no attention, like the rhinoceros. Others clean up after themselves, like cats, which we all know, and armadillos, which I did not know about until I read this book. Water buffalo poop by the water. This alligator does it in the water. And the boy wipes himself with paper, then flushes it down. All living things eat, so say it all together now. Everyone poops. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everyone poops. If that's not a metaphor for our troubled lives, I don't know what is. Now, it's possible that I've read this book about animals pooping too many times. Maybe instead of embedding itself in Finn's mind, it's actually settled itself into mine, because when I read this morning's passage from John, all I can think about is that sheep pen and what kind of state it is in. Because I've been to the petting zoo, folks, and one thing I have learned is that a sheep is not like a cat who at least tries to cover its own poop. A sheep is not like a bear who chooses a special place to go. A sheep will poop just about wherever. Sometimes it won't even stop walking while poop is just falling out of its butt. So I can imagine the state of affairs in that sheep pen. So what were these pens like? At the time of Jesus, the wall was probably built of stone with a little gate for the sheep to come in and out. The pens were open to the air but provided a little bit of protection from the weather. The main purpose of the wall, though, was to keep the sheep in and to keep the wolves out. And the pens were pretty good for that. But they had the unfortunate drawback of making a very convenient target for thieves, and they were also probably really gross. So the sheep pen was like a necessary place, but it was also a temporary place. If you were a sheep, you probably couldn't wait to get out of that pen and get out into the pasture and get away from your own crap. Now recently, a frequent topic of conversation at our Sunday morning book group has been about how to get away from the crap that we have accumulated in our lives. Not crap as in poop, I'm switching metaphors here. There's probably a reality TV show for people with that particular problem. But crap as in stuff. We've been reading a book about simplicity and financial freedom and talking about how the things that we accumulate are usually intended to somehow make our lives better, more convenient, or fuller somehow. But usually, they fail to do that, and they actually do the opposite. Financial burdens that result make our lives more difficult. More time is spent managing our stuff than actually living our lives. The promises that our consumer culture made us turn out to be empty. We feel like we are being buried alive in our own houses underneath our own stuff. Now, of course, this sort of thing is not necessarily a struggle for you or for everyone. Some of us have healthier perspectives on our stuff and on our money, but there are other kinds of crap that accumulate in our lives too. Things that we hoped would bring us satisfaction or a sense of identity or a feeling of accomplishment. Things that we hoped would establish our worth to the world, but instead are just cluttering up our sheep pens. Maybe it's a career or a diet or even religion. Something that isn't inherently bad, but leaves little room for what is life-giving. It chokes off those things that would really make our lives abundant ones. Or maybe for you it's something that was okay in moderation but later got out of hand. A drink now and then to take the edge off, maybe. But before you realized what was happening, it turned into a disease that you could not control. Whatever it is for you, when you're most honest with yourself, you realize that your pen is full of crap. Too much of your time is spent on poop management, and you just want to get out. And Jesus says, He knows the way out. Jesus says he's the one who opens the gate. He is the good shepherd who is not like the others who come to kill and destroy. He is not like the hired hand who flees at the first sign of danger. He is not like the stranger who does not know the sheep. Instead, he knows all of the sheep personally, intimately. He can call us by name. Now, in the same passage that Jesus tells us he is the one who opens the gate, he also tells us that he is the gate. I know, it seems kind of zen. And honestly, it's a little confusing. It's possible that Jesus spoke at different times about being either the gate or the good shepherd, and that John has combined both of these images into one story because they make a similar point. Jesus not only knows the way, but Jesus is the way. Now, I know that some of us might feel a little uncomfortable with that second part, that Jesus is the way. It seems kind of exclusive and unfair, elitist maybe. We wonder, what about all of the good people who are following other ways? Buddhists or Muslims or humanists, are they stuck in their sheep pens because they don't know who the real gate is? I think there's a way of reading this story that honors what John is telling us about Jesus without adopting an elitist turn or burn kind of Christianity that turns everyone else into a target for hellfire and brimstone. And this is how I think about it. Have you ever had a friend who was a narcissist? The kind who, no matter what you are saying or talking about, these people turn the conversation back to themselves? Well, I think this is what happens sometimes, or what we do sometimes to Jesus. Like here, Jesus is clearly talking about who he is, and we try to make it about who we are. Some of us want to hear that we picked the right gate. Congratulations. That we're on the inside, that we've got it figured out, that everyone else would have it figured out too if they would just become more like us. But surprise, Jesus says, I'm also the good shepherd. and I've got other sheep and other pens that you don't even know about. Someday, you're all going to be in the same flock. So wrap your minds around that, you insecure narcissists. And so it turns out that Jesus is talking about us, too, just not in the way that we maybe want him to. We want him to tell us that we are special and better than others. But all Jesus does is stand outside the gate and shout over and over, "Wake up! Don't you realize you're sleeping in sheep turds? Wouldn't you rather be out here in the pasture with me? Well, let's go already." Hang on a minute, Jesus. We're right behind you.